There it is. The magic number, Hugh Douglas. It's about time we start doing this.
It's the final countdown.
It is time. We're going to do this on a daily basis at 1 o'clock. The Phillies' magic number to clinch the National League East is now down to 30 after the win last night. Obviously, a win tonight could knock that thing down to 28. So just and we haven't done this in a while. I mean, I guess we did the last couple of years with the playoff spot, but like it's different for when it's a division, right? So, and it's been a while since the Phillies were in position to win the National League East. The magic number from now to the end of the season is any combination of Phillies wins and the team in second place losses. So right now it's the Braves. It could end up the Mets. We'll see how those two teams jockey for wild card position. But it's the Braves right now. So every Phillies win, we chop a number off. Every Braves lost, as long as they're in second place, we chop a number off until we get to zero. And this thing is clinched. And yes, just like in June when I said this division is over, I still believe it's over. And now it's a mere formality, a matter of time, till we get to zero. Magic number, Hugh Douglas, 30 for the Phillies. They can get it to 28 by tonight, and then the countdown begins here.
Cool. Sounds like a winner to me.
So here's the question. Tonight, as they get to try to win this series, I mean, Kyle walked in this morning with a wild thought on this game tonight. Kyle,
I don't think it's that wild.
What do you got?
It's a must win.
Tonight.
Like, now is the time to step on the Braves' throats. Don't breathe any more life into their season. Don't give them any more hope that they can come around and win this thing when they have to come to Philly next week. And, like, think about what this will do for the Phillies. Like, think about how bad the vibes were after the first game. And like how they're sort of creeping back after the second one.
Yep.
Winning this series and then winning two in a row against the Braves, who, let's be honest, we haven't played well against this year. And they're a banged up team. Like, I just think this would sort of, this would feel like two ships passing in the night for the Phillies taking over the division and the Braves sort of like, guess what, dude? You're going to the wild card. See ya.
Well, it would. Is it really going to change if they lose tonight?
Yeah. Have you, how long have you been in the city?
No, but is it anything going to change this division?
Zero sum.
It would have been more of a must win if they lost last night.
I think it's more of a feel good moment.
Yeah, it would be.
It's more of a momentum moment because I think the biggest thing when we talk about this Phillies team is that we don't feel like we have momentum right now.
No, well, they get it for a few days and they give it back.
Yeah. And I think, you know, we want to feel good going into the playoffs. We want some momentum, and it doesn't feel like that right now.
I'm thinking about the psyche of this team and how dejected they seem when things don't really go their way. Like, lately, like, think about, we've talked about Bryce Harper and his body language and how sometimes he just looks miserable. Like,
he does.
And that permeates throughout the clubhouse. Like, I just think tonight is such a huge swing from giving them that kind of confidence and that boost for the rest of the season versus, like, man, like, we really don't have this anymore. It would just be such a momentum killer tonight.
It would be.
Yeah,
it would
especially
be.
When you're talking about RC and how he acting like he the big dog. Yeah.
So let me give you the reality of how this could go down. How quick this could happen quick. I mean, if the Phillies play, if they go back to playing well or they just beat the Braves head-to-head, this countdown could get real quick. So it's 30 right now, the magic number. Let's say the Phillies adhere to Kyle's must-win edict, and they win tonight. That cuts it to 28. That's a double whammy tonight because it's the Braves. 28 would be the magic number. What's a fair expectation for the Royals and Astros series? 3-3? They're both good. And the Astros are red hot.
4-2.
Yeah.
I'll take 4-2.
But I
think fair.
Let's say 3-3.
Yeah, I might even have to go 4-2 just because, like, because
we want momentum.
Because we're
splitting.
Yes.
No, we want momentum.
I need to see this team
four
going.
4-2 feels like
Kansas
momentum.
City and Houston are good.
4-2 feels like momentum.
All right.
We should have. We have the, like, I don't know if we still have the best record in baseball. Like, let's start playing like it. Let's start winning like it.
All right, fine. We'll go 4-2. We'll go your math.
He said fine.
Fine. 4-2. I mean, I'd be happy. So it'd be 28 after tonight if they go 4-2 in the series against Kansas City and Houston. Let's say the Braves win all their games. Like, I'm not going to count any of their losses. That would cut it to 24, and then the Braves come in here next weekend. Let's say the Phillies get 3 out of 4 against the Braves next weekend. This thing would be down to 18 on Labor Day. Like, if they take care of business the next week, this thing
That's
is...
That's how you got to look at it. Now you see what we see. Now you got to take care of
We could wake up
man.
On Labor Day with the magic number of 18. Like, that's how you clinch this thing
awesome.
With 10 days to go in the season.
But I guess where I'm coming from is I'm just tired of seeing the wheels spinning without us getting anywhere. And, like, I don't know. For some reason, this feels like it could be a massive turning point in the season. I need them to win tonight. I am going to be watching tonight, just like I did last night. Just
playoff
like I did the night
intensity?
Before. Playoff intensity, man. I don't care if the Braves are decimated. I'm tired of losing to them, and I'm tired of giving them any life whatsoever. We should have stepped on their throats a freaking month ago. Let's do it!
It also is a big start for Christopher Sanchez, as we will look towards, like, you know, is he fully back? Because he had a bad 6 weeks, and then he pitched a complete game Saturday and was great against the Nationals. Big start for Sanchez tonight against the Braves. Kyle deeming it a must-win. The magic number is at 30. Let's go back to the phone lines here. 215-592-9494. Mari is up next on WIP. Hey, Mari.
Mari.
Hello.
Hello, Mari.
How you guys doing? So, I don't listen to the as much as I often see you guys. I happen to be listening today, and I happen to be an identical twin.
So you have some perspective on the nonsense that Hugh's talking
about. Hugh's in big trouble.
You.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
What are you talking about?
No, I this is the thing. Like, I've met a few twins, like, in my day. And the ones that I've met, they've been pretty different. They've been different. You sound like you're more of, like, in like, my age demographic as far as, like, the twins are concerned. Like,
I'm going to say this. What you're saying, the way you're talking, that says more about you than it does about the twins.
Wait She's a minute. Right. I'm curious. Mm-hmm. What does it say about me?
It says that whoever you know, like, I believe that you kind of attract what you give off.
You know what?
It's
you
your
know
fault.
Funny?
It's your fault.
He's killing
you know what's
right
funny?
Now.
I was in the break. I was telling Joe the story that I couldn't tell on the air.
Oh, I figured.
And there might be some truth to
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I think there is. So Mari, so you're saying you don't believe 65% of twins are
that
in that
number's
boat.
Too high?
I've met a lot of twins. I am a twin, belong to the twin club. And I'm telling you. Yeah, I'm telling you. You kind of give off what you get what you give off.
So basically what you're trying to say is I met the twins that I met were kind of different in that aspect.
And it was your fault, yeah.
How's it my fault?
Well, you listen to her.
I'm just saying. Like, I just thought it was kind of, I just thought it was, like, awkward.
It's not normal.
It's
no,
not?
Nope,
okay.
No.
Okay.
Nope,
well, okay.
Then I think what we need to do, and Murray,
okay,
we appreciate
so,
the
Okay, so, I was going to ask, was it like more 30%?
Yeah, well, I think not normal means you got to knock that under 50%. I mean, it's not the norm.
I don't know. I mean, because, I mean, like, I hear what she's saying, but she says she's a part of the twin club. I would venture to bet that there's a couple twins in that club that probably are different.
So here's what really added to today's nonsense.
I am not fast, by the way, because I feel like Maury felt like I was fast.
There were some accusations being levied.
No, I'm not fast. I promise you, I'm not fast.
Hugh Douglas is up and running.
I was being fast.
So, last time you threw out a ridiculous thought that 70% of Americans are actively looking for Bigfoot.
Yes.
We unfortunately couldn't get Bigfoot on the phone to confirm or deny that. We were able to get a twin there. That helped.
Yes,
I think
did.
It helped
we
the
did.
Discussion.
And she made me do some inner searches, some inner soul searching, yeah. I guess.
I think the number you're looking for is more like 5%.
No, but the story
2%.
That I told you, it was that's a true story.
I know, but that's one perspective.
No, it was a couple. It was a couple people.
We might need to have a whole segment on Hugh's statistics.
they're off.
Phillies will average 6 runs per game. 70% of Americans are actively looking for Bigfoot.
But you have to admit that when I throw it out there, I roll it out there, and I back it up with some bravado.
I like to think people are listening. Like, there's two ways of listening to radio for me, at least. Like,
Mary, she was nice about it. Though.
She was
very respectful.
She was kind.
More respectful than she could have been.
Yeah, because she could have called me an idiot.
Yes, she wanted to, but she didn't. So I always think there's two. When I listen to radio, there's like active listening where I'm like really focused on the conversation, the back and forth. It happens a lot, like when two people are debating. And then there's like passive listening where it's like, I hear it, right?
Yeah, then you'd be like, what the hell he say?
You know, when you throw out these statistics, I think you get the passive listeners just like, what he just
said? No, I'm saying, I believe it. I still, like, I stand on this still. I mean, I hear what she's saying. But I would venture to say, I would like to go to these events and just kind of just sit back and just watch.
I'm sure you would, bud.
No, I'm just saying, just to watch.
So,
just to watch.
I think the closest thing we've had to that with the Bigfoot was when Jerry the Truckhorn guy immediately called in and tried to confirm Hugh's statistic. about looking for Bigfoot.
No, but listen,
which didn't exactly surprise me.
Y'all
about
don't want to give me my props though, because I was right. Who was whose jersey were we looking for? 99.
Mm-hmm.
A couple Tywon months ago, Walker. Tywon Walker. I found the Tywon Walker. I was right about that one.
What was? Did you put a statistic to that?
I said one, at least one
at
person.
At least one, okay.
It was one person.
I mean, you that's
was right about that one.
That's good.
The Bigfoot thing, there were some people looking for Bigfoot.
Way off on Bigfoot.
And probably the number was a little bit too high, but people are still actively looking for Bigfoot.
I feel, know some people are 70% of Americans.
I feel
pretty
hundreds strong.
Of millions
I feel,
of people.
I still feel strong about this whole, whole twin thing. I'll back off of 65, but I'll give you 60.
Well, you know what? Yeah.
60. I'm going to go 60, though.
Yeah. A lot of this is very WIP when presented with facts. I hear you, but I don't care.
Yeah. This is the hill I'm going
to
die on.
That's what we do here. All right. Congratulations, by the way, to Tony. Tony won our $50 gift card to Burger King. Can you handle the heat? Burger King is serving up bold flavor.
$50.
That's right.
Burger
He's
King,
got though. It and spice this
win.
Summer.
It's a lot of Burger King.
Well, you could take friends to Burger King and be that dude.
You can get the fiery bacon whopper, the fiery chicken fries, fiery strawberry and Sprite made with fiery strawberry puree and more for a limited time at participating U.S. restaurants. It's a fiery take on your BK favorites with spice levels from mild to wild so everyone can have it their way. All right, let's get back to the phone lines here. Terrence in Springfield talking some topper. What's
Terrence.
Up, Terrence?
You, Joe, Kyle, what's up?
What's up, man?
Hey, Terrence.
Hey, Joe, you ain't got no love for me no more, Joe.
What do you mean?
You want a little two hour and 30 minutes. I'm like, thank
you. Wow. Terrence, I didn't forget. I got you up right now.
You know how many people want to get on the air right away? Everyone thinks that they're the number one caller. Just, it'll be okay.
Terrence,
get on.
By the way.
You gave them like an hour and a half wait. Today I was like, my God, I forgot about it.
I didn't forget.
Complain one more time, Terrence. They're giving your spot away in the league.
Terrence, by the way, 5 p.m. I saw your message yesterday. 5 p.m. at Chickie's next Wednesday.
Yeah, it's all good. I'm all charged up. But I want to talk about the trade for Dotson first. I feel like this is a good trade. How are we doing this thing once again? I don't know if you guys know Dotson, if you guys play Madden. His overall rating on Madden is a 78. That's an above-average wide receiver. He's made some big plays for Washington the last couple of years. He's young. I feel like he'll be a great fit, and I feel like A.J. Brown and Smitty will be able to get his guys some good positive motivation in that slot position to have a nice daily offense this season. And I expect Jalen Hurts, with this extra weapon at receiver, I expect him to get back into form, which he was in that year we played Kansas City in a Super Bowl.
Well, he has the talent. I mean,
they
Terrence,
got weapons.
He's got tons. I mean,
weapons,
it's a crazy amount of weapons. When you think about it, Terrence, you got Brown, who's a great player, Devontae, who's a tremendous player, Goddard, who's had a nice career, Saquon. I mean, it's a lot of
weapons.
And we're absolutely hard on Topper. I feel like we need to cut it out, man. Like, what? Can we start giving these star players some flack? I heard you say this the other day. How much is our payroll for the Phillies?
Payroll's about $240 million.
Like, come on. Like, I don't want to hear about – is Topper out there hitting? Is he out there fielding? Was he out there in the World Series losing to Houston? Was he out there in a collapse hitting when he played Arizona? No. These players got to step up. They're getting paid all this money. I'm tired of hearing about Topper doing this, Topper doing that. He can push so many buttons. It's up to these players to get out here and put their butt out there and play for the money that they're getting paid for.
Well, and last night he pushed those right buttons. And Terrence, we appreciate the phone call. We always do. He pushed the right buttons last night. Like, that's why this was a night last night where they won in large part because Rob Thompson pushed the right buttons from the Stott and Mars decisions when he used them, letting Weston Wilson in the eighth inning, the bullpen moves. And yet, it speaks to the point. The first caller we had this morning went on a rant about how a six-year-old could manage this baseball
team. He did not like Canadians, did not like Topper at all, said his six-year-old could coach the team.
Yeah, I don't know the last time you spent time with a six-year-old. They don't make decisions easily.
Sunday?
they like
don't.
One thing one day. Yeah, they don't like it the next day.
Changes very, very quickly. Very quickly.
Now, could a teenager manage a team if you think the baseball team's good enough? Maybe. Not a six-year-old.
I mean, like, Bam just had his five-year-old nephew, and, like, he just was barely able to muster the word Eagles on the phone.
I think we're asking a lot out of a six-year-old. I mean, that's a lot.
Bam telling the wrong people he love him. Then Joe gave me a little nugget about Bam that I didn't know, and I was like, wow, that's interesting.
Have you moved your position at all on this twin stuff?
60.
Okay.
60%?
Oh, it was 65.
65.
Now it's
60. Sorry, 60.
We've gone to a more reasonable, ridiculous way.
I love you, and I love the fact that you didn't call me mean and hurtful names, but I got it. This is a hill I got to die on. I'm here.
He was like a cat with nine lives on these hills. He dies on a lot of hills.
Mary, I'm here. I'm sorry. I apologize. But I'm here. I'm here now. And I can't back down. I gotta stay here. I'm here.
Yeah, there's nowhere to go now.
Yeah, there's nowhere. I can't back off because I'm a man and I make bad decisions. So I'm a roll with these bad decisions that I tend to make as a man. It's in my DNA.
Just keep going.
Just like when you know what I'm saying? When you're driving and you don't know where you're going, you just keep driving until you figure it out. It's kind of the same thing.
Well, I mean, we have GPSs now.
No, but you know, when you do it by osmosis and you try to figure it out, that's where I'm at right now. That word didn't have nothing to do with what I was trying to say, but I just threw it out there.
You decided he was going to get osmosis into the conversation.
Maybe one way or another, Joe. I'm just throwing it out there. It's there. I'm here. And the Eagles season about to start. I'm optimistic. So that's why I'm really optimistic about these numbers that I threw. 60%. That's as low as I'm going.
Here you go. I'll get osmosis into the conversation the right way. Well, let's hope that Cam Jurgens, through osmosis, figured out how to call the blitzes out, right? He picked it up from Jason Kelce. He saw it. He took it all in.
Yes.
Rick
yes.
in Princeton. He knows all about osmosis. What's up, Rick?
Osmosis is a good Ozzy Osbourne album, I'll tell you that.
There we go. See, all the osmosis you need on the
yeah,
show today.
All the osmosis you need.
And speaking of 80s metal, I think, Hugh, you're thinking of the twins from the Cinderella videos. I don't know if you remember those.
I don't.
Back in the 80s.
No, but I'm telling you, I wish we had the platform for I could tell some of these stories that I've encountered of different individuals, but we can't.
I'm telling you, start the podcast, Daily Douglas, and it's just all this nonsense.
Because Yad would run in here and snatch me out this studio.
Cut his mic. Cut it off.
Absolutely. You need a podcast where you can let that go.
The Daily Douglas. I'm telling you, just you turn the mic on, you see what happens for 20 minutes.
I don't know if I want to with this generalization. You people, the twins.
First episode title, You People, and it's just a whole 20 minutes on You People. All right, Rick, what are you thinking about Topper?
Topper, it's a thankless job, any coach. I mean, you look at, for Topper, he makes decisions that infuriate me, but, I mean, the team buys in, and he does get the results. I mean, they've been fantastic for the past 2 years. But you look at, like, Sirianni, you know, he's damned if he does, damned if he doesn't this season. You know, if he does well, they're going to want to keep the coordinators, and he's out. If they do bad, he's probably out. So it's like, you know, being a coach or a manager is tough, you know. It's like being in the promotion department, the station there. The events and contests go well. You don't hear about it. Everything is great. Something goes wrong. All of a sudden, it blows up.
Yeah,
right?
Especially when there's expectations, right? Like, you know, if there's expectations, you're supposed to succeed. And if you don't, then you're in trouble. Like, no one gives credit to when you do what you're supposed to do. Like, I think Topper, since he got here, he's either achieved based on the roster he's had. Like, he's got them to where they should be, or maybe a little bit over, considering 2022. But the only time we talk about him is when they lose a couple games.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, and maybe it's his fault, but for the most part, the player's got to play. I mean, you know, if Harper and Turner and your big guns aren't firing, then what's he going to do? I mean,
there's only so much, right? Yeah, I mean, so much of it is at his hands. You know, it's in football, the coach has more, you know, will over the game. In baseball, it's less. Rick, when did you make a fool out of yourself? What'd you do?
I need an encyclopedia to look through here. I think the most recent. My band's playing tomorrow night, and I kept on posting that it was tonight.
Yeah, well, you want to get people there. Advertising is important to be accurate. Rick, that's a good one. Yeah, accuracy on advertising for an event is pretty critical.
Yeah, I mean, especially when you get the wrong dates wrong. When you get the dates wrong, yeah.
Or the venue.
Yeah, that's bad. It's pretty bad.
Yeah, or the twin sister.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, man, this is just a hill I'm down. It happens. 60,
that was more of a shot at Bam.
60%. Yeah, Bam telling the wrong woman he love him.
But my theory now is it wasn't wrong. I mean, if that ended up the mother of his child.
Yeah, that's a lot.
There's more to it than we know.
Bam got a lot going on in his household.
I think that's a fair way to characterize. He's got a lot going on. Jamal and Willow Grove. What's up, Jamal?
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up, Jamal?
What do you think, Jamal?
You know what? I was at work, and I listened to you guys at work on a daily, and something I super agree on Kyle with. So either Topper's not good enough or he is. I mean, what's the alternative? I guess that was my point. If we kick Topper out, what exactly is the alternative? I thought we rode this ride before with Andy Reid and we would have learned. It doesn't seem like we did. What are we going to get a new guy instead of the veteran guy? I'm just confused as to what we're doing.
Well, I mean, in all fairness, I think, you know, when you talk about win-win situations, it was a win-win because we did win a Super Bowl. Andy went off to have success with the Kansas City Chiefs, and he grew from that. I'm not on board with getting rid of Topper, but, you know, sometimes that change is good. But I think the change in this situation was Topper from the old manager.
Yes.
This isn't exactly a young team, though, you.
I get what you're saying, but that was kind of the parallel that I just made. Topper's the new guy, and you got to give him a shot. What is this, third season's
well,
manager?
Second full, but yeah, third year. Yeah, third year.
I think we need to give the guy a real chance, man. We stomp on the guy's throat when he wins. We stomp on the guy's throats when he loses. It's got to suck to be him, to be honest, because you can't please anybody.
Well, and you know what it is? It's the easy button to push for us as fans, right? It's like, well, they lost. Whose fault? Let's blame the manager. Part of it, Jamal, is I think people respect Dave Dombrowski and don't want to criticize him, even though we could. You know, we could point out moves he should have made or didn't make. And people like these players. Like, just doing this show, it's sometimes it's hard to get people to be real about Bryce Harper when he's struggling. Like, people don't want to say it. People want to tiptoe around Trey Turner might not be worth the money they gave him. So we're just like, well, it's all Topper's fault. It's his fault they lose games. And that's not,
yeah,
not really
I hear
it.
A lot of people, I hear a lot of people covering for Bryce, but I also hear a lot of people slamming the guy. So, like, I don't know. It's kind of one of those silly things.
It is.
But Hugh, I wanted to particularly bring something up to you. You always talk about feel, right? And so my pop used to tell us this, right? That when you're a man, if you operate in feel 100% of the time, you're in loss because you're never losing logic. I just wanted to throw that out there to you, buddy. That's all.
Hmm.
If operating feel.
Yeah, if all your decisions are on the feel of the moment, then you're not using any logic. It's all, you got to have balance the feel and the logic.
Exactly. That's the point. Yeah.
Oh no, I get it. Okay. But it's been going pretty good.
Got
for
an embarrassing story for you guys.
All right. When did you make a fool of yourself?
So 7th grade, 12 years old, I went to Warren G. Harden Middle School. I was spray painting on the side of what I thought was an abandoned vehicle, and one of the neighbors came and told my mom. Looking back at it, it was very stupid because I was using gold spray paint because my mom used to do like a lot of arts and crafts, right?
Mm-hmm.
So neighbor came home, mom wasn't there. I'm like, yes, yes, yes. Neighbor came in the morning before work and told my mom. Mom came up to the school, guys, at dismissal, dragged me out by the ear, brought me home. Oh, Hugh, it wasn't as easy as a beating. I would have took the butt whooping, right?
It was the embarrassing beating.
Dude, she cut like half my hair off the top. I had like a curly top fro.
Oh, no.
And I had to go to school like that for like 3 days, dude.
Oh, and she dared you to try to fix it. It was one of those situations?
I couldn't do anything, dude. I couldn't do anything. I came to school the second day and talked to the teacher before class, and she basically let me wear a hat.
But wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a rough one. Spray painting, getting caught, mom pulling you out of school, cutting your hair off. That's a lot, Jamal. Yeah, you made a fool of yourself there. We appreciate the phone call. Appreciate it. Listen, all right, 215-592-9494. All right, we need to pick someone here that made the biggest fool of themselves for a shot to be in the WIP Fantasy League. Our draft, by the way, live at Chickie's next Wednesday. Chickie's in South Philly, 5 p.m. We'll do a live drafter. Excited to have you guys with us. Your calls on Topper, the Eagles of Jahan Dotson trade, plus someone at WIP single-handedly move the week one line Eagles-Packers towards the Eagles. We'll explain that next right here on the Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP. And let's talk to my friends over at FanDuel. You've heard us talk a lot about FanDuel in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, America's number one sportsbook. Well, we have a little something different for you. Now, through September 22nd, all FanDuel customers can bet $5 and get a three-week free trial of NFL Sunday Ticket from YouTube and YouTube TV. Then with a YouTube TV base plan, you'll be able to watch every regular season Sunday afternoon out-of-market game. All you need is a Google account and a current form of payment, and you can cancel anytime. Just visit FanDuel.com/GIGLIO to download America's number one sportsbook. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 94 WIP. Welcome back, Midday Show. Yeah, there ain't no stopping us. Ain't no stopping Hugh from throwing out some big numbers, percentages.
Making these blanket statements about certain groups.
And there ain't no stopping the Eagles, well, at least in terms of the line for week one. So I was on FanDuel last night on my FanDuel app, just looking at some stuff for week one.
How's it looking for you?
Well, yeah, I was thinking about some parlays and some underdogs and all that kind of stuff. Just, you know, just looking around just to see what I got a couple weeks before we start making some bets here. And you know what I noticed, Hugh Douglas?
What you got?
The line on the Eagles game has moved. And typically, so, you know, during the week of the NFL season, the lines move all the time, right? Injury news or something happens, mm-hmm. right? That's typical. But the lines for the week one games have been set since May. And unless there's a major injury, it's very rare they change much because nothing's changed, right? It's the same matchup, whatever FanDuel thought 2 months ago.
It still doesn't change that much.
Yeah, the teams haven't changed that much, really, almost at all. And once in a while, there's a trade, but rarely anyone significant. So the line on this Eagles-Packers game opened at 1.5. The Eagles have been favored for week one by 1.5 for 2 months. And I just was on there last night just looking around. And Hugh, I noticed the line has moved. The Eagles are now 2.5-point favorites over the Packers week one. So it moved a full point. And this, now by the way, this was before the Jahan Dotson trade. And Jahan Dotson's not going to move a line a point. He's a third wide receiver. But this happened last night. So it led me to this conclusion. There's only one thing that has changed since the beginning of the summer.
What's that?
That's Jalen Hurts' big-time training camp and the interception streak that lasted until yesterday. I think Elliott Shore Park single-handedly moved the line on this game by chronicling Hurts' camp.
Y'all better start giving that man his props. Mm-hmm. Because you know what's funny? Every news outlet that I've seen since training camp has ended has talked about him only throwing one interception the whole training camp. Where do you think they got that from?
Elliott.
Yeah, but he's not going to get that his props, so I'm going to give him his props. That's who was the guy that was charting all of this and giving Jalen all this love. Elliott Shore Parks deserves some credit for that.
Kyle, can you think of anything else that's changed here? The teams are basically the same. No one significant is hurt. This feels like only one big difference, and that's Hurts' camp, chronicled, of course, by Elliott.
An historic training camp is really the only thing I can possibly think of. I don't think there was any major injuries on Green Bay. Mm-hmm. Everything seems okay over there.
They re-signed their quarterback, so no distraction.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's all good over in Green Bay. And, I mean, nothing has changed here just besides positive vibes, positive reports coming
Elliott
out of training camp.
Elliott moved the line. I mean,
Elliott did move the line. There's
it's
no
the
question
only explanation.
My and
Elliott Shore Parks moved the line on this football game.
Okay, ESP.
He did it all by himself. I've never seen it before. Someone at WIP moved the line.
I think there's one more thing that can move this line. When I release the official Kyle Quinn spread for the game, officially.
I think all bookmakers around the United States are waiting.
They're waiting, yeah.
They want to make sure their line is not too far off from yours. Otherwise, they're in trouble.
Yep. I think I did tease it a while ago. I will unveil it when we get closer to week one.
Yeah, and that's how you get your value in your bet. You have to see if your line is different. The real line is different than Kyle's line. All right, it's 2.5 right now. Eagles are the favorite over the Packers, thanks to Elliott. Black Gritty is up on WIP.
Black Gritty!
Hey, guys. First of all, Hugh, you are right on point. I'm not going to throw my family under the bus, but I got an offshoot. We got six sets of twins. I haven't heard the story. I grew up watching Jerry Springer. You see enough brothers and sisters doing a whole bunch of stuff they shouldn't have been doing, let alone when you're looking like it, you just trying to test the waters and play stuff out. Hugh, you are absolutely right. And then you're right on the Bigfoot thing, too. Anybody listening who's ever been in the woods, tell me one time you ain't look over, see something moving, think it was a Bigfoot. I know you ain't out there actively seeking, but you done spotted out if you ever stepped your foot
they
in the woods.
Don't let they trying to make me feel like I'm crazy. I understand. Hey, I know what's going on.
Hey, don't let them get you. I ain't gonna let them get me. Don't let them get you out
see
here.
See that,
you
know Joe? I'm not the only one.
I actually think it's more likely you're right about the twins thing than the Bigfoot thing. 70% of Americans.
Called in, she's part of the 45%. That's all. That's part of her lifestyle. She's part of the 45%.
She's part of a small group, the small contingency.
All day.
That's 65 and 45 does not equal.
That's 110, yeah.
Yeah, that don't sound right. Yeah.
I'm with you.
Black Gritty on that same math program I'm on.
So, let me tell you about Topper. So Topper comes in. Has he ever been a manager anywhere else before?
No.
No, this is it.
So he's been a lifer and never been a manager. There's a reason for that. He comes in, they change managers, everything turns around. We give him all that credit for the turnaround because the only thing that changed was Topper, right? Yep. The team was still pretty much the same,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
So when you get all that credit, you get a whole lot of bashing too. And you're right, we do love the team.
messing up and all that kind of stuff. Nebraska needs to make moves. But Topper does things that just infuriate you, especially in the postseason, because he just doesn't make any adjustments. And in the world of analytics and also the mad stuff that I got to listen to, and we don't make any adjustments or have strategy, everybody's just swinging for the hills, it irks me. So, yeah, Topper's always going to be on the hot seat because I know there's a reason why he was never a manager. Great human being, great dude, great guy, but I don't know why was he never a manager, so that's he's about Topper. The last thing I'll say about Howie's season, a great move, Howie. I don't know if it moves the needle. It's nice to have a backup. When will the Eagles learn to draft a wide receiver? And I know we got Smith, but that's a top 10 guy, Heisman guy. The Eagles cannot draft a wide receiver to save. Like, I'm looking at the Rams getting dudes in the sixth round. They'll be looking like Jerry Rice every other year now. Like, we need to learn how to draft wide receivers, so we ain't got to go out and trade to go get somebody. I'll holler at you guys. Oh, wait, my embarrassing. I'm going to tell you my embarrassing thing.
What'd you do?
So, Hugh.
Yes.
I was late for a family function, and I showed up, and my mom said, oh, what were you doing? I said, I was asleep. She said, you weren't asleep. I said, I was. She said, well, what girl was you sleeping with? I said, I wasn't sleeping with nobody. And for like half an hour, she just kept grilling me about it, and I was thought I was with a girl, but I was like, now you don't call me out. I was sleeping, and that's it. And then she wiped my beard. I had glitter all in my beard.
Oh, not stripper glitter.
I had glitter all in my beard, dog. The whole family laughing at me, dog. Everybody saw me sparkling. You know what I mean? I tried to get away with it.
Wow, that's you're out there sparkling. That's pretty foolish, Black Gertie.
Stripper glitter. That's awesome.
That's a good one.
That is pretty good.
It's a lot, though. Yeah, that's
stripper glitter.
I just feel like if you're going to lie, you got to be. People that lie are not good at lying. It's part of the problem.
You got to keep the lies simple.
It's hard to lie when the lie's on your face.
Yeah, you can't get intricate with the lies. You got to keep them simple. The more intricate the lie, the harder it is to keep up. Just keep it simple, man, and just say no. Just say no. And then when they ask you what were you doing, just say what. The day when they ask you again, just say, stay out of my business.
So dumb it down until they leave you alone.
Yeah, it's simple. Simple's better, man, because it's hard to keep them lies. Sometimes it's hard to keep them lies in line.
All right, so something came up with our caller before the last break, and then I thought about it because when we jumped on this morning with the camera and Jody Mack this morning
yeah,
show.
Yeah, Jody Mack.
Jody Mack, man, was out there. He's pulling the fantasy draft order for our WIP league.
Terrible.
You didn't like the way the order went, did you?
No, because it was just too confusing, man. It was just too much.
It was different.
Seltzer tried to tell him, but, you know.
He didn't listen.
He didn't listen.
But we pulled it out of a Tasty Cake donut bag, and Wechter had polished off the donuts before. I did notice some chocolate on some of those names, but that's beside the point. So we did that this morning.
We are so childish.
There was a call. Joe took a call before we did the draft order.
Yes.
And the caller was referencing the idea that if the Eagles win the Super Bowl, And it's because of their offense, which I think you would think, Hugh, if they win the Super Bowl, it's going to be
because of the offense.
Because they have this historically great year. And they score like 30 points a game, the way you think they could be in that area.
Yes.
And teams are coming after Kellen Moore. That the Eagles would have to make a decision whether or not to actually move on from Sirianni after getting to or winning the Super Bowl because they don't want to lose Kellen Moore and just make him the head coach. And the idea of the call was, this is ridiculous. And Joe was like, well, no, it would be a legitimate conversation. I agree with Joe on that. It would be if you win the offense because of Kellen Moore's. Excuse me. If you win the Super Bowl because of Kellen Moore's offense, how could you not keep Kellen Moore? How could you let him walk away?
Give him more money.
If he wants to be the head coach, and the only way to keep him is you got to make him the head coach?
I think that just throw more money at him. Some people aren't designed, or they're just not good at being head coach.
Well, Ben Johnson for the Lions seems like it's.
Yeah,
let me just frame it this way: he leaves unless you make him the head coach.
Then you fired Nick Sirianni.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think
you can do that. That would be just so no. I think the optics of that would look bad for the Eagles organization.
So I mean, the odds of all this playing out exactly that way are pretty slim. Like it's going to play.
Yeah,
out
just look. It's the optics.
But it would be a major discussion here on WIP.
Oh no, we would definitely talk about it, but I don't think it would happen. I would be on the side that no, that would never happen because I don't think that's bad business. When you talk about what Coach Sirianni's done, how they've handled him up until this point, they've put people around him to help him enhance his coaching style. I just think that would be bad business.
Let me move the line a little bit.
A little bit. Go for it.
They go to the NFC Championship game. They lose the game, so they're not back in the Super Bowl, but they had they won 12 games, NFC title game, but it's because the offense was dominant. And then, whatever team says they want to hire Kellen Moore. Then do you consider it? Is the bad optics, Hugh, because the first example was him winning the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Okay, let's say, so that NFC title game. Would you consider it then?
No.
Because
I still think there's a component to Coach Sirianni that is very important. And the guys have talked about it, like his coaching style. I know for the last couple of months we've been killing Coach Sirianni. But I feel like Coach Sirianni is in a good space when it comes to coaching because he's learned from some of the – well, let me put it like this. Hopefully he's learned from his mistakes. So I just think that would be a bad move for him to lose his job for something like that.
Kyle, are you ready for this discussion if the offense is great?
For Kellen Moore to overtake Nick Sirianni?
Well, the idea, they score 30 a game. It's an offensively driven team, excellent on offense, and Kellen Moore is about to go get a head coaching job. He's about to leave. The only way to keep him is to move Sirianni out and make him the head coach.
And they go how far?
At least the NFC Championship game.
There's zero shot. No, you can't remove
what do you
the
mean
head.
Zero shot.
You can fire the head coach that took your team to the back to the NFC Championship for the second time.
But he did that on the back of this guy's offense.
Well, okay, but like at a certain point. I feel like now this is similar to the Topper conversation where we're going to rip him when everything goes wrong like it did last year. But when everything goes right and they actually make moves to fix it in the offseason and then, you know, turn it back around, go back to the NFC Championship, he gets zero credit. It's like we can't have it both ways.
Right, but
he's the head coach of the team.
But what if the primary reason is Kellen Moore's offense and it would leave with him? I'm just saying if things go well this year, and I'm painting very, you know, specific scenarios. Yeah. It's going to be a thing that he's the driving force, that Kellen Moore is. Well,
Kellen Moore can go have fun. I mean,
let's go back to Brian Johnson 2.0
but
next
look,
year.
I don't know what Kellen Moore is as a head coach. Sirianni, at that point, becomes way more of a known commodity. And that he's there would be no denying it, that Nick Sirianni is a winning head coach in the NFL. Like, those don't just fall on trees. Grow on trees.
I get
fall
it.
Out, fall
I'm
out of trees.
If the offense...
Don't worry about it. I like the way you said it, though.
Would you say fall out, grow on?
Fall on trees.
Not many things fall on trees.
Yeah.
Other trees.
If they do, I don't think they last
so
very much
brand.
Longer.
It's so on brand for what we do.
I like that you and Black Gritty have your own math system that we don't know about.
Yeah, like 65-45
equals 100 on the midday show. Twitter question sponsored by the PI Dental Center. Your smile is the first thing others see when they meet you. Learn about and schedule your evaluation at PIDentalCenter.com. All right, where do we come down today in terms of the people voting? Are we as fans too hard on Rob Thompson? Very split on this one. 47% yes, 53% no. Pretty even. So
that's not bad. That's not a bad one.
Yeah, I mean, more people believe we are not too hard on him, but enough people believe, yeah, we're a little too hard on him.
I think there's a couple different ways that you can look at that. Like, too hard on Rob Thompson can be viewed as like, are you willing to give him credit today? Or is it like, is the criticism when things aren't going well fair?
Yeah, I think we go over the top sometimes.
Because, well, like, but I do also think it's fair to criticize Rob Thompson.
Of course.
No, you can. You can definitely
That's
do that.
What I mean. So, like, I think there's, you know, and then, of course, you have the dogs at the beginning that just think, you know, a Canadian can't manage a baseball team.
Yeah, I mean, I've taken a lot of crazy calls on the States and over the years. That one... I just don't even know what to do with that. Who cares he's Canadian?
That was strong.
Well, the duck did, obviously. Right. Welcome back, Midday Show. Yeah, there ain't no stopping us. Ain't no stopping Hugh from throwing out some big numbers, percentages.
Making these blanket statements about certain groups.
And there ain't no stopping the Eagles. Well, at least in terms of the line for week one. So I was on FanDuel last night on my FanDuel app. Just looking at some stuff for week one.
How's it looking for you?
Well, yeah, I was thinking about some parlays and some underdogs and all that kind of stuff. Just, you know, just looking around just to see what I got a couple weeks before we start making some bets here. And you know what I noticed, Hugh Douglas?
What you got?
The line on the Eagles game has moved. And typically, so, you know, during the week of the NFL season, the lines move all the time, right? Injury news or something happens, right? It's typical. But the lines for the week one games have been set since May. And unless there's a major injury, it's very rare they change much because nothing's changed, right? It's the same matchup, whatever FanDuel thought 2 months ago.
It still doesn't change that much.
Yeah, the teams haven't changed that much, really, almost at all. Now, once in a while, there's a trade, but rarely anyone significant. So the line on this Eagles-Packers game opened at 1.5. The Eagles have been favored for week one by 1.5 for 2 months. And I just was on there last night just looking around. And, Hugh, I noticed the line has moved. The Eagles are now 2.5-point favorites over the Packers week one, so it moved a full point. And this – now, by the way, this was before the Jahan Dotson trade, and Jahan Dotson's not going to move a line a point. He's a third wide receiver. But this happened last night, so it led me to this conclusion. There's only one thing that has changed since the beginning of the summer.
What's that?
That's Jalen Hurts' big-time training camp and the interception streak that lasted until yesterday. I think Elliott Shore Park single-handedly moved the line on this game by chronicling Hurts'
camp. Y'all better
start
giving that man his props. Mm-hmm. Because you know what's funny? Every news outlet that I've seen since training camp has ended has talked about him only throwing one interception the whole training camp. Where do you think they got that from?
Elliott.
Yeah, but he's not going to get that his props, so I'm going to give him his props. That's who was the guy that was charting all of this and giving Jalen all this love. Elliott Shore Parks deserves some credit for that.
Kyle, can you think of anything else that's changed here? The teams are basically the same. No one significant is hurt. This feels like only one big difference, and that's Hurts' camp, chronicled, of course, by Elliott.
An historic training camp is really the only thing I can possibly think of. I don't think there was any major injuries on Green Bay. Mm-hmm. Everything seems okay over there.
They re-signed their quarterback, so no distraction.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's all good over in Green Bay. And, I mean, nothing has changed here just besides positive vibes, positive reports coming
Elliott
out of training
moved
camp.
Elliott moved the line. I mean,
Elliott did move the line. There's
it's
no
the
question
only explanation.
On my mind.
And Elliott Shore Parks moved the line on this football game.
Okay, ESP.
He did it all by himself. I've never seen it before. Someone at WIP moved the line.
I think there's one more thing that can move this line. When I release the official Kyle Quinn spread for the game, officially.
I think all bookmakers around the United States are waiting.
They're waiting, yeah.
They want to make sure their line is not too far off from yours. Otherwise, they're in trouble.
Yep. I think I did tease it a while ago. I will unveil it when we get closer to week one.
Yeah, and that's how you get your value in your bet. You have to see if your line is different. The real line is different than Kyle's line. All right, it's 2.5 right now. Eagles are the favorite over the Packers, thanks to Elliott. Black Gritty is up on WIP.
Black Gritty!
Hey, guys. First of all, Hugh, you are right on point. I'm not going to throw my family under the bus, but I got an offshoot. We got six sets of twins. I haven't heard the story. I grew up watching Jerry Springer. You see enough brothers and sisters doing a whole bunch of stuff they shouldn't have been doing, let alone when you're looking like it, you just try to test the waters and play stuff out. Hugh, you are absolutely right. And then you're right on the Bigfoot thing, too. Anybody listening who's ever been in the woods, tell me one time you ain't look over, see something moving, think it was a Bigfoot. I know you ain't out there actively seeking, but you done spotted out if you ever stepped your foot
they're trying
in the
to make,
woods.
Don't and let they trying to make me feel like I'm crazy. I understand. Hey, I know what's going on.
Hey, don't let them get you. Don't let them get you.
See that, Joe? I'm not the only one.
I actually think it's more likely you're right about the twins thing than the Bigfoot thing. 70% of Americans.
She's part of the 45%. That's all. That's part of her lifestyle. She's part of the 45%.
She's part of the small group, the small contingency.
All day.
That 65 and 45 does not equal.
That's 110, yeah.
Yeah, that don't sound right. Yeah.
I'm with you.
Black Gritty on that same math program I'm on.
So, let me tell you about Topper. So Topper comes in. Has he ever been a manager anywhere else before?
No.
No, this is it.
So he's been a lifer and never been a manager. There's a reason for that. He comes in, they change managers, everything turns around. We give him all that credit for the turnaround because the only thing that changed was Topper, right? Yep. The team was still pretty much the same,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
So when you get all that credit, you get a whole lot of bashing too. And you're right. We do love the team and keep messing up and all that kind of stuff. The Brock needs to make moves. But Topper does things that just infuriate you, especially in the postseason, because he just doesn't make any adjustments. And in the world of analytics and also the math stuff that I got to listen to, and we don't make any adjustments or have strategy, everybody's just swinging for the hills, it irks me. So, yeah, Topper's always going to be on the hot seat because I know there's a reason why he was never a manager. Great human being, great dude, great guy, but I don't know why was he never a manager. And so that's just about Topper. And the last thing I'll say about Howie season, a great move, Howie. I don't know if it moves the needle. It's nice to have a backup. When will the Eagles learn to draft a wide receiver? And I know we got Smith. But that's a top 10 guy, Heisman guy. The Eagles cannot draft a wide receiver to say, like, I'm looking at the Rams getting dudes in the sixth round. They'll be looking like Jerry Rice every other year now. Like, we need to learn how to draft wide receivers, so we ain't got to go out and trade to go get somebody. I holler at you guys. Oh, wait, my embarrassing. I'm going to tell you my embarrassing thing.
What'd you do?
So, Hugh.
Yes.
I was late for a family function, and I showed up, and my mom said, oh, what were you doing? I said, I was asleep. She said, you weren't asleep. I said, I was. She said, well, what girl was you sleeping with? I said, I wasn't sleeping with nobody. And for like half an hour, she just kept grilling me about it. And I was thought I was with a girl. But I was like, now you don't call me out. I was sleeping, and that's it. And then she wiped my beard. I had glitter all in my beard.
Oh, not stripper glitter.
I had glitter all in my beard, dog. The whole family laughing at me, dog. Everybody saw me sparkling. You know what I mean? I tried to get away with it.
Wow, that's
you're out there sparkling. That's pretty foolish,
you got the
Black Gritty.
Glitter. That's awesome.
That's a good one.
That is pretty good.
It's a lot, though. Yeah, that's
stripper glitter.
I just feel like if you're going to lie, you got to be. People that lie are not good at lying. It's part of the problem.
You got to keep the lies simple.
It's hard to lie when the lie's on your face.
Yeah, you can't. You can't get intricate with the lies. You got to keep them simple. The more intricate the lie, the harder it is to keep up. Just keep it simple, man, and just say no. Just say no. And then when they ask you what were you doing, just say what. And then when they ask you again, just say stay out of my business.
So dumb it down until they leave you alone.
Yeah, it's simple. Simple's better, man, because it's hard to keep them lies. Sometimes it's hard to keep them lies in line.
All right, so something came up with our caller before the last break, and then I thought about it because when we jumped on this morning with the camera and Jody Mack this morning show.
Jody Mack.
Jody Mack, man, was out there. He was pulling the fantasy draft order for our WIP league.
Terrible.
You didn't like the way the order went, did you?
No, because it was just too confusing, man. It was just too much.
It was different.
Seltzer tried to tell him, but, you know.
He didn't listen.
He didn't listen.
But we pulled it out of a Tasty Cake donut bag, and Wechter had polished off the donuts before. I did notice some chocolate on some of those names, but that's beside the point. So we did that this morning.
We are so chocolate.
There was a call. Joe took a call before we did the draft order.
Yes.
And the caller was referencing the idea that if the Eagles win the Super Bowl, and it's because of their offense, which I think you would think, Hugh, if they win the Super Bowl, it's going to be
because of the offense.
Because they have this historically great year. And they score like 30 points a game the way you think they could be in that area.
Yes.
And teams are coming after Kellen Moore. That the Eagles would have to make a decision whether or not to actually move on from Sirianni after getting to or winning the Super Bowl because they don't want to lose Kellen Moore and just make him the head coach. And the idea of the call was this is ridiculous. And Joe was like, well, no, it would be a legitimate conversation. I agree with Joe on that. It would be, if you win the offense because of Kellen Moore's, excuse me, if you win the Super Bowl because of Kellen Moore's offense, how could you not keep Kellen Moore? How could you let him walk away?
Give him more money.
But what if he wants to be the head coach? And the only way to keep him is you got to make him the head coach.
I think that just throw more money at him. Some people aren't designed or they're just not good at being head coach.
Well, Ben Johnson for the Lions seems like it's.
Yeah,
let me just frame it this way. He leaves unless you make him the head coach.
Then you fired Nick Sirianni.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think
you can do that. That would be just so no. I think the optics of that would look bad for the Eagles organization.
So I mean, the odds of all this playing out exactly that way are pretty slim. Like it's going to play.
Yeah,
out
just look. It's the optics.
But it would be a major discussion here on WIP.
Oh no, we would definitely talk about it, but I don't think it would happen. I would be on the side that no, that would never happen because I don't think that's bad business. When you talk about what Coach Sirianni's done, how they've handled him up until this point, they've put people around him to help him enhance his coaching style. I just think that would be bad business.
Let me move the line a little bit.
A little bit. Go for it.
They go to the NFC Championship game. They lose the game, so they're not back in the Super Bowl. But they had they won 12 games, NFC title game. But it's because the offense was dominant. And then whatever team says they want to hire Kellen Moore, then do you consider it? Is the bad optics, Hugh, because the first example was him winning the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Okay, let's say, so that NFC title game, would you consider it then?
No.
Because
I still think there's a component to Coach Sirianni that is very important, and the guys have talked about it, like his coaching style. I know for the last couple of months we've been killing Coach Sirianni. But I feel like Coach Sirianni is in a good space when it comes to coaching because he's learned from some of the – well, let me put it like this. Hopefully he's learned from his mistakes. So I just think that would be a bad move for him to lose his job for something like that.
Kyle, are you ready for this discussion if the offense is great?
For Kellen Moore to overtake Nick Sirianni?
Well, the idea, they score 30 a game. It's an offensively driven team, excellent on offense, and Kellen Moore is about to go get a head coaching job. He's about to leave. The only way to keep him is to move Sirianni out and make him the head coach.
And they go how far?
At least the NFC Championship game.
There's zero shot. No, you can't remove
what do you
the
mean
head.
Zero shot.
You can fire the head coach that took your team to the back to the NFC Championship time.
But he did that on the back of this guy's offense.
Well, okay, but like at a certain point. I feel like now this is similar to the Topper conversation where we're going to rip him when everything goes wrong like it did last year. But when everything goes right and they actually make moves to fix it in the offseason and then, turn it back around, go back to the NFC Championship, he gets zero credit. It's like we can't have it both ways.
Right, but
he's the head coach of the team.
But what if the primary reason is Kellen Moore's offense and it would leave with him? I'm just saying if things go well this year, and I'm painting very specific scenarios, it's going to be a thing that that he's the driving force, that Kellen Moore is.
Well, Kellen Moore can go have fun. I mean,
let's go back to Brian Johnson 2.0
next
year.
I don't know what Kellen Moore is as a head coach. Sirianni becomes way more of a known commodity, and that he's there would be no denying it, that Nick Sirianni is a winning head coach in the NFL. Like, those don't just fall on trees. Grow on trees.
I get
fall,
it.
Fall out of trees.
Don't worry about it. I like the way you said it, though.
Would you say fall out, grow on?
Fall on trees.
Yes. Not many things fall on trees.
Yeah.
Other trees.
If they do, I don't think they last
so
very much
brand.
Longer.
It's so on brand for what we do.
I like that you and Black Gritty have your own math system that we don't know about.
Yeah, like 65-45
equals 100 on the midday show. Twitter question sponsored by the PI Dental Center. Your smile is the first thing others see when they meet you. Learn about and schedule your evaluation at PIDentalCenter.com. All right, where do we come down today in terms of the people voting? Are we as fans too hard on Rob Thompson? Very split on this one. 47% yes, 53% no. Pretty even. So
that's not bad. That's not a bad one.
Yeah, I mean, more people believe we are not too hard on him, but enough people believe, we're a little too hard on him.
I think there's a couple different ways that you can look at that. Like, too hard on Rob Thompson can be viewed as like, are you willing to give him credit today? Or is it like, is the criticism when things aren't going well fair?
Yeah, I think we go over the top sometimes.
Because, but I do also think it's fair to criticize Rob Thompson.
Of course.
No, you can. You can definitely
That's
do
what
that.
I mean. So, like, I think there's, and then, of course, you have the dogs at the beginning that just think, a Canadian can't manage a baseball team.
Yeah, I mean, I've taken a lot of crazy calls on the station over the years. That one, I just don't even know what to do with that. Who cares he's Canadian?
That was strong.
Well, the duck did, obviously.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.